Random House Audio presents The Killer Angels by Michael Shera, read for you by Stephen Hoy.
Introduction. This is Jeff Shera. In 1964, a 12-year-old boy followed his father across a mile-long stretch of open ground, walking in the very footsteps of the men who, a century earlier, had made the most catastrophic massed assault in our history. We know the assault today as Pickett's Charge, and we can still walk that ground through the center of the enormous battlefield that spreads beyond the charming town of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. All across the mile of grassy pasture, the father told the boy the story of what happened there, told the story of a man named Lewis Armistead, a Southerner, who led his men in that charge up toward Union soldiers commanded by a man named Hancock. Armistead and Hancock had been best friends, but now a horrible war had divided them. And on that one day in 1863, fate had brought them together again, to face each other on separate sides of a bloody line. On that day, they would meet for the final time. It was the father's gift to be a marvelous storyteller, and as the wide-eyed boy listened to the story, the character of Armistead became real, alive. When they reached the Union side of the field, the father led the boy up and over the low stone wall, advancing as Armistead himself had done, staring into the barrels of Union cannon, cannon that stand there today. The father stopped to read a small concrete marker, curiously, the only one adorned by a small Confederate flag. It was the spot where Lewis Armistead had fallen. The father had not known of the marker, stared at it for a long moment with tears in his eyes. The story was real to him as well. It was the first time the boy had seen his father cry. The father was Michael Shera, a published author who was known primarily as a short story writer. The son was me. Our visit to Gettysburg was about discovery, a family of tourists wandering through the trees and pathways, a boy and his young sister climbing on cannons while their parents read the hundreds of plaques, learning the names, some familiar, Lee and Longstreet, some not so familiar, Reynolds and Buford. We climbed the hills as well, one in particular, a rocky prominence called Little Round Top, where the father was drawn to another monument that detailed a little-known group of Union soldiers who had held the end of the line, the tail end of the entire Union position, against a relentless attack by Confederate troops. That unit was the 20th Maine. Their commander was Colonel Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain. Chamberlain had been a college professor, was a master of language, a man who, above all else, wanted to be a soldier. My father became excited about this character, felt immediately that he knew him. They were the same kind of man. That vacation inspired my father to begin an odyssey that took 7 years to complete, and the result was a manuscript that he titled The Killer Angels. Michael Shera was no historian, was not bound by any conventional rules on how to tell a story about what happened at Gettysburg. What he wrote was something that had never been written before, a story of the battle as told from the points of view of the characters themselves, the men who made the decisions, who created their own history and ours on that extraordinary piece of ground. It was a novel. Something different as well, because his story took you into the minds of each character, put words in their mouths, something no historian would dare to do. It was a radical way to view history. And in New York, the publishing world had no idea what to make of it. The manuscript was turned down by the first 15 publishers who read it. Finally, in 1973, a small independent publisher, the David McKay Company, took a chance on The Killer Angels. Releasing it the next year in very limited quantities, the publisher made no effort to promote the book, and those critics who bothered to read it had decidedly lukewarm opinions about this new way of looking at history. To Michael Shara's enormous disappointment, it was clear that his book was destined to disappear to the dusty shelves of obscure libraries. Then, a miracle happened. In April 1975, a telegram from Columbia University was delivered to our house. It was simple and direct. The Killer Angels had been awarded the Pulitzer Prize for fiction. It was the happiest day of my father's life. Every writer who receives a Pulitzer has the right to expect his career to take an upward course. At the very least, his book should be regarded as a success, either critically or commercially. It was not to be. In this country, in 1975, the Vietnam War was drawing to a close, and the last thing anyone wanted to read was a book about war. Despite the Pulitzer Prize, The Killer Angels drew very little attention, and it simply didn't sell. To my father, it was another crushing disappointment. In the late 1970s, a filmmaker named Ron Maxwell contacted my father about doing a film based on the book. The optimism began again, and my father worked alongside Maxwell for 10 years to try to bring The Killer Angels to the screen. But in Hollywood, as in New York years earlier, no one believed there was an audience for a book about the Civil War. Throughout the 1970s and 80s, my father's health deteriorated. He suffered both from heart disease and the effects of a brutal motorcycle accident. On May 5, 1988, he suffered his second heart attack. It was his last breath. To Ron Maxwell's enormous credit, the filmmaker kept pushing The Killer Angels in Hollywood and finally convinced billionaire Ted Turner to finance the project. The film was shot in 1992 and released as Gettysburg in October 1993. That same week, I received a phone call from the book's paperback publisher, Ballantine Books. The first word I heard was, "Congratulations." Because of the attention generated by the film, The Killer Angels had made the New York Times bestseller list for the first time. In a few weeks, it rose to number one, 19 years after it was first published, and 5 years after my father's death. Throughout Michael Shara's 40-year career as an author, he had one goal above all others. What meant more to him than anything else was to leave something behind, something for which he would be remembered. Incredibly, he died believing he had failed. It has been 30 years since The Killer Angels was first published. In that time, it has come to be regarded as the finest Civil War novel and possibly one of the finest historical novels ever written. The praise for this book continues to be heard from presidents to four-star generals, from Civil War buffs to historians to schoolchildren, and yes, to the millions of visitors to Gettysburg, families just like ours who climb that hill held by Joshua Chamberlain or take that familiar walk in the footsteps of Louis Armistead. My father would be proud.
To the reader. This is the story of the Battle of Gettysburg, told from the viewpoints of Robert E. Lee and James Longstreet and some of the other men who fought there. Stephen Crane once said that he wrote The Red Badge of Courage because reading the cold history was not enough. He wanted to know what it was like to be there, what the weather was like, what men's faces looked like. In order to live it, he had to write it. This book was written for much the same reason. You may find it a different story from the one you learned in school. There have been many versions of that battle and that war. I have therefore avoided historical.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?